Well, misconceptions are everywhere. We had a restaurant here, which is now a garage, called Traditions, and people, even in our own hospital, were afraid to eat there because they thought it was only traditional food and not Western food. And traditional healing, sometimes perception is driven by association. For example, we did some articles and interviews for reporters for the local newspaper, and we gave our interview, and much to our surprise, we were linked to a completely different interview, and there were other people identified as traditional healers and are traditional healers, and some had practices they claimed were shamanic, and we never have done anything like that or used the words. And by association, people think that we did the same thing that they do, or they do the same things that we do, and it was very, very misleading. And because of that, it adds to the confusion of people. We are in the process, and we have been for almost a decade now, of putting together a book on what is traditional healing. And with the help of the good Lord, I hope this coming year we can get it out. And there are interviews with people. And our CEO, Catherine Gottlieb, has had the wisdom to start traditional healing here. And to write this book, it has been a long, long process of interviewing our elders and basically ask them, what is it to you? Because it's something different to everyone. And so we hope to put this publication out, hopefully in the near future, that will show you what some people think of it and hopefully begin the discussion, because there isn't a well-defined course such as the study of Western medicine. One of the things that I learned quickly when I went back to Washington, D.C. to talk with the Centers for Medicaid and Medicare, actually in Baltimore, about funding for traditional healing or billing or whatever. And the government's response was, well, yes, maybe we can fund it, but first we have to control it. We have to have certain standards, we have to have licensing, and everyone has to do the same thing, standardize it, which is the Western approach. And of course, that was the end of the discussion, because everyone has a different approach and they have different gifts and how this is used. And like every profession, you will find people that are very, very good, and you'll find people that appeal to some people, whereas other people appeal to others. And everyone has their own personal journey to health, and it's much like religion. You find one religion that works for you, or one way of belief, or one priest or rabbi or minister might be very healing to you and maybe make other people run away from them. So the same with finding a Western doctor. There are some that are very good for certain types of patients, and others appeal to other groups, and the two shall meet. And the same with traditional healing. Everyone has their own gifts and their own talents, and they use them accordingly. I'd like to mention we have a traditional healing garden out here. I personally believe that for every disease in the world, Creator has given us a cure through traditional healing, through plants, through all these kinds of things that are very good. And we have different traditional healers that specialize in how these things are used. They've been passed on for centuries. Remember, Western medicine is very new in Alaska. It's only been around, less than 200 years, whereas for millennia, traditional healing's been here. And there's a body of knowledge. It's much like going to the Arctic and using new modern clothing, which isn't a fraction of how efficient traditional native clothes are against the weather. Well, this body of knowledge just continues. And today, our role in our clinic is to bridge between Western medicine and traditional healing for the benefit of the patient. And that's essentially what we do, pass on the wisdom of our elders and what's been passed on to us and somehow connect it to Western medicine. And the big message is, number one, every patient is responsible for herself or himself. And number two, you are your own physician and your own healer. We give you our best advice, but it's up to you to take it. We have patients that say, well, I'm a diabetic. Yes, my sugar's really up. Just up the insulin or give me a stronger pill or shot or whatever. And we have other patients that say, well, what can I do about it? I realize this medicine is too strong and it has adverse effects. And then traditional healing basically says, well, start taking responsibility for yourself. Watch your diet. Start exercising. Drink more water. All those kinds of things come forward from traditional healing. So we engage people to take more responsibility for themselves. And in my opinion, we're the ultimate form of prevention. And preventative medicine, to me, has to be everybody's present and future, or we're not going to make it.
And, you know, in the counseling work, I get patients. We all have trauma in our lives. We all have crisis that happens. And some of us roll with it, some of us cope with it well, and some of us don't. And so the ones who come are the ones who go to different clinics and they say, I want medicine. I just want to understand because I feel crazy. You know, and because it's temporary, and they don't want the prescription. Yes, some people need them. There are real diagnoses for the need of that. But for broken relationships, for death in a family, for news of health like cancer or heart disease, they're traumatic, and they don't require long-term, heavy-duty medicines. So they come and say, I'm not going to take that. I just want to talk. I had this dream, or I woke up, you know, my mom died, and there she was sitting. And she said, I went to see a clinician, and I got this prescription because I was hallucinating. You know, our culture has different things, and if there's no understanding of it, you can get diagnosed a different way, even though those diagnoses are real. And, you know, talking about traditional healing, there's a time our people, we didn't have thermometer. This is medicine. May I? It's touch. And seeing this world today, touch move into bad touch. That's why there's abusive issues everywhere. That's the root cause. But there was a time when touch, you took a temperature, you hugged, you didn't have a fear of they might think I'm abusing or I'm coming on to you. This is a learned behavior of two different worlds of how we view the world. This, I love that I grew up in a kind of an innocent way. I didn't know about gay people. I walked around till I was 15 holding hands with my best friend. Now, today, if somebody did that, someone would say, are you gay? You know, we chewed gum, and you want to chew my gum for a while? Because you can't just buy it. There was no stuff. Here. So we passed each other our gum. We're buddies. And the other part I want to say personally is my grandma's side had medicine women, meaning you help with broken bones. You knew how to stop bleeding, and you knew about plants and what to use. Stinkweed. You made poultice. You made teas to drink, or you just sat there and let somebody just cry and go with them because they have a loss. Now today, there's a, you know, it's just like the word spirituality. You have to really know what you're talking about. You can't just bandy it around. It's the same thing with traditional healing. I've had so many people, even my native people, say, are you a shaman? And I want to clearly say, no, I am not a shaman. I do healing that's not, I'm not the healer. God is the healer. I'm the weed. I'm the vehicle that uses it. So I have to be balanced. Physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. I have to know there's something greater than me I can turn to. Because people come, their lives are affected by what I say, and what I do. And I don't give advice when they ask because they hold the key. I just have to guide them to that place by telling a story. Then they go, funny you should say that. Then I hear the real thing, why they came. So there's a big difference between shaman work and traditional healing. And too many people out there mix the two. In our native world, we all know. I mean, we know. If I say I'm a shaman, that's a real red flag. I really am not. If I say I'm a healer, you know, we had a hard time coming up with the word tribal doctor. We didn't know what to call ourselves because our world doesn't go out there and proclaim it. Your people do. I had to go to my people to be able to share certain things of my gifts. I couldn't just come in. When they asked me, I had to say, I have to go home and see my elders. And I didn't even ask for it. They knew it was coming. They gave it to me. So I was able to come and work. Otherwise, I would have had to say, Dr. Mal, I'm sorry, I can't do that yet. It's more than that, I think, is the difference when you go to a college for the credentialing. Ours is oral that got passed down grandfather to father to son to grandson. Likewise, grandmother to mother to daughter to granddaughter. And I do energy work, and I deliberately took therapeutic touch, which is healing touch. Different than healing hands, we do both here. And nurses do it. They know what that is because it's non-intrusive to the body. When trauma hits us, anything, our energy gets blocked. And I do energy work. They lay on a bed. I see three people diagnosed with a certain diagnosis. Their mind rests. They fall asleep. So it's all part of us.
People come to us and want to work for us as a tribal doctor. It's a great, great responsibility. In the Western world, we can do credential checks, look at their school, know that they pass tests. Whereas when they come to us, it's a whole different story because all kinds of people approach me to work here. And I tell them that the process is this. First of all, because we're part of the Alaska Native Medical Center and South Central Foundation, we only hire Alaska Natives. Second, we go back to the village and where they're from and find out who they are. Mostly, but Alaska's so small, those of us that have been around a long time really know who's who because most people can be traced back. It's like the Alaska Claims Act. People would claim they're from, like, my village in Buckland, but they'll just go back to Buckland and they say, do you know them? And either they do or they don't because everybody knows each other and they weeded everybody out in the Alaska Lame Claims Act when they said that because people didn't realize we knew each other. Next, we do an extensive background check as we do for every person in South Central Foundation. We do federal and state examinations of their background, the criminal history, and so on. And if they're not squeaky clean, they won't be considered. And then after that, they have to go before a council of elders, which is our traditional healing elders advisory council. And they have to meet all our elders and talk about who they are and where they're from. And only after that does a recommendation go forward to the president for them to be hired. And we credential through our Council of Traditional Healing Advisory Council. But they're interviewed by the president, by the vice president. It's such a formal act. I would even dare to say it's harder than the Western Medical Credentialing Medical Office.